Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 22, verses 12 to 16. There was a certain man named Ananias. According to the standards of the law, he was a pious man who enjoyed the respect of all the Jews living there. He came and stood beside me. "Brother Saul, receive your sight," he said. Instantly, I regained my sight and I could see him. He said, The God of our ancestors has selected you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear his voice. You will be his witness to everyone concerning what you have seen and heard. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins as you call on his name. The word of God for the people of God.
As members of La Jolla United Methodist Church,
we promise,
we pledge,
we commit
to faithfully participate in its ministries
with our prayers, our presence,
our gifts,
our service,
and our witness.
As members of La Jolla United Methodist Church,
we commit to give our full selves
as a response to God's generous love
in an outpouring of ever-growing hope.
Join us as a community,
as a church family,
as a connection.
Well, friends, after the choir's anthem, I think we can just go home now. They just preached the gospel better than I can. Thank you. Okay, so for those of us that are staying, today's scripture, I'm sure, may sound familiar to most of us who were born and raised in the church. It is the moment that Saul, a person who was paid to find and persecute followers of Jesus, experienced a change of his body, his spirit, and his name. Saul, the man responsible for many deaths of Jesus' followers, became Paul, the man responsible for many churches for Jesus' followers. And by the time we get to this point in Acts chapter 22, this man, Saul, had already experienced a transformative, life-changing event with Jesus that left him without sight for 3 days. It's a fantastic story. But today we're not going to focus only on Paul himself. We're going to focus on the people who witnessed Paul's transformation. The men who traveled with him and Ananias, the man sent by God to help him. Now you all remember this was a really hard time for the people who would be called Christians, who were followers of the way, followers of Jesus. And the Roman Empire and a lot of the religious leaders really didn't like this very much. So they thought maybe they could persecute them, oppress them into silence. Saul was the perfect choice for this. As a Hellenistic Jewish man, that means he was religious, but also adopted customs from the surrounding culture. He was both Jewish and a Roman citizen from birth. He is both religious and political. Perfect combination for the job of seeking out religious heretics and prosecuting them in court. I am not happy that this job ever existed, but I have to admit that Saul was the perfect person for it. It's a big job. There is no way that Saul could ever do this by himself. Other men traveled with him. They're not named, and they're only mentioned in two verses in Acts, but they're very important. Now, I don't know how many men there were or exactly what their occupations were, but if I had to guess, given this job, Saul would need at least one bodyguard, some kind of protection. Saul needed at least one other man, if not many, to make arrests. In the book of Acts, we read of apostles being tortured and killed, and I highly doubt that Saul did a lot of that dirty work himself. These men were probably the muscle of the operation, which means they did not scare easily. But when the men heard the voice of Jesus call out to Saul on the road to Damascus, they were on guard, maybe even a little afraid. They were ready in a fighting stance, ready to defend against the owner of this voice, swords drawn, trying to figure out where it's coming from. Then the voice asks Saul, "Why do you persecute me?" These men know that question certainly extends to them as well. And then suddenly they hear, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." They must have been shocked because, for one, they thought Jesus was dead. Second, they didn't think they were persecuting anyone. They thought they were squashing heresy. And third, they certainly didn't think they were directly persecuting Jesus himself. That day, these men that traveled with Saul, they witnessed his transformation, and then they learned three things all at the same time. One, that Jesus is active and alive in the world. Two, that they are not defenders of orthodoxy, but persecutors. And three, as they harm others, they hurt Jesus, the living embodiment of God's love. So as they harm others, they grieve the living spirit of God. These men witnessed and experienced a transformation, if not all at once, then over time as they reflected on what they witnessed. In one moment, these tough men transformed. They transformed from Saul's muscle, meant to intimidate and oppress, to Saul's guides, gently escorting him to safety. Saul's eyes were closed in that moment, but for these men, their eyes were opened. Now, we don't know what happened to them. We don't know if they stayed with Saul or whether they traveled again with Paul to proclaim the good news. We only know that they were witnesses to Paul's conversion. And whether they wanted to admit it or not, they were witnesses to the truth. The truth that they had to admit is that they were not defenders of the faith or the muscle necessary to keep law and order. The day Jesus showed up on that road, these men learned that they were indeed on the opposite end. And whatever they did unto others, they did unto God. Now, we know this next witness, Ananias, from today's scripture. We know that he responded to Saul's conversion, or how he responded to Saul's conversion. At the time that Ananias was sent by God, he had no idea why he was supposed to see this man named Saul. All he knew was that Saul was a dangerous man, a man that he should avoid. He knew Saul had a group of men traveling with him, and they would also be present. But Ananias went anyway, alone. And to his surprise, when he arrived, this dangerous man was helpless, bewildered, blind. Now, Ananias could have done many things in this moment. He could have taken revenge against Saul, punished him for all of the people Saul had hurt or killed, could have chosen eye for an eye. Ananias could have taken the opportunity to mock Saul, to threaten him or play tricks on him. Or in that moment, Ananias could have simply turned around and left. And left Saul to fend for himself. But he didn't. He didn't because of what he witnessed. He saw not only a change in Saul's physical appearance, but a change in his soul. Saul had been transformed from violence to devotion. And so Ananias was equally transformed from vengeance to forgiveness. For me, the most powerful witness to the men traveling with Saul was not the blinding lights, or dare I say, even the words of Jesus. To me, the most powerful witness to those men traveling with Saul was that moment between Saul and Ananias. Saul did not order the arrest of Ananias when he showed up. A man of violence chose to become a man of peace. Ananias witnessed that change, and in response, he chose friendship over revenge. That is the power of witness. We are all changed by what we witness, what we experience. To resist such change is to resist living in God's living and breathing light of truth. What if, after all of that, Saul kept on being Saul? What kind of witness would that be against the transforming power of God? And what if, after all of that, Ananias chose revenge? We wouldn't have half of our New Testament. What kind of witness would that be against the transforming love of God? Church, our witness today is just as important as it was back when Saul became Paul. Our life's witness may not be this dramatic, but it's just as important. We still have persecution and violence today. Violence against women, violence against people of color, recent violence against our Jewish siblings. We've entered into another era of political violence. I believe Paul Pelosi could testify to that in church this morning. And here we are, and some of the people perpetuating violence do not see their words or actions as violence, just like the men with Saul. Some people doing harm think they are defenders of orthodoxy and defenders of the faith. Y'all, the church needs a better witness. Can I get an amen from the choir? Amen. Some people doing harm think they are defenders of our nation, defenders of our safety, but they're like the men with Saul. And they need a road to Damascus, come to Jesus moment. Well, I think this is that moment. This is our chance, church, to decide who we want to be, how people will witness our lives in this moment, whether we will give witness to transformative love or give witness to apathy, inertia, Or, worst of all, give witness to absolutely nothing. Our spiritual ancestors, they chose transformation. They chose love. They chose hospitality. They chose to give, to wrestle with hard questions, to figure out how to live together. They chose to learn, to grow, and how to adapt. They chose change over status quo. They chose each other. This is our moment to do the same. This is our moment to choose transformation. This is our moment to decide our witness concerning what we have seen and heard. Amen.
Can you check this? Is this thing on?
I think so.
It looks like it might be tilted.
Nah, it ain't good. How do the kids operate this thing? I don't know.
I just talk on it and text on it.
I mean, it might be crooked, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
I think it'll be fine. We're going to do good. So, hello, Joyce.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Now, as you know, during this Plus One series, we have been talking about the five pillars of Methodist stewardship, and they are prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. So I'm curious to know, out of those five, which one do you think, you know, I'm pretty good at?
I think most people would guess that gifts would probably be the obvious. I'd say gifts and service. Probably more on so the gifts, because I sing in the choir, and that's my passion. And service, because I want to be there for my choir, and it's been my salvation through COVID. It was something that I thoroughly missed when everything locked down. Mm-hmm. And when I was invited to join Bob, Choir Bob, it was like life, it was literally life-changing. I cried on the way to church for my first rehearsal because I was so happy to be able to sing again. And it was just something that's my gift. That's my gift since I've been a little girl.
So gifts and service.
Yes.
So which one of the five then do you think, I could do better?
Actually, I thought a lot about that because the obvious is witness. It's very hard to just be amongst people that you're not quite sure what their beliefs may be or what their attitudes may be. But over the last couple of years, especially during COVID, I tried to find a way to bring my church to me. Mm-hmm. And that was sharing myself in a way that was more comfortable. And that was through social media. And so I made a commitment to myself probably at the end of 2020. Of finding that way every morning, finding something that I was reading that I would share. And I didn't care if anybody liked it or if anybody read it. It was just something that I was giving out in a comfortable way for me. And after it's almost 2 years of doing this, almost every single day, I've had numerous people reach out to me on the side to say how helpful it's been to them. And so I was like, okay, I'm doing something. I'm witnessing in my way, not necessarily out in a visual way like singing in the choir, but in a way that people can feel comfortable for themselves as well.
All right, sounds like you're actually doing pretty good at it.
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. I gave myself a vacation during vacation.
Amen. So, why do you give to La Jolla UMC?
I give to La Jolla. Well, as a little girl, we'd go to church with our parents, or my grandmother especially, and she would always give us change. Get in her purse, and each one of us would have change, so we could all, you know, put in the offering plate. And so we felt included. And as I got older, I wanted to make sure that I continued to do that. And there were times when I couldn't, but I would find a way just to still contribute. And so when I hear those words, give as you've been given, I've always tried to increase when I've had the opportunity. And sometimes I felt like I was stagnant. And so this plus one is kind of pushing me to, you can do more. You have been blessed to do more. And so it's, you've been doing it since you were little. Keep doing it.
Thank you. Thank you for spending some time with us this
Sunday.
Thank
you for inviting me. It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, let's go sing.
Let's go sing.
Nailed it.